On May the 1st last year, Londoners voted. On May the 2nd, those votes were counted. And sometime around midnight in City Hall, Boris Johnson became London's new mayor.
We will focus on the priorities of the people of London. Cutting crime, improving transport, protecting green space, delivering affordable housing, giving taxpayers value for money in every one of the 32 boroughs, and I hope that everybody who loves this city will put aside party differences to join in the making of Greater London greater still.
I'm Dave Hill, and ever since that night, I've been following Boris Johnson around. On my blog, on the streets, anywhere I can find the man, I've been there. At times, I've felt like a schoolteacher monitoring the progress of a gifted but rather willful pupil. So I've decided to compile an end-of-year report. Let's go through that little list of subjects from his acceptance speech. In transport, Boris must try harder. He has a different strategy from Ken Livingstone, who encouraged buses and squeezed the motorist. Boris wants to make the different components of London's transport network work together more smoothly. But some bits of his policy don't add up. He is soon to get rid of bendy buses, but their replacements will take up more road space and take longer for passengers to board. And those replacements won't even be those sparkling new route masters he's promised. We won't be getting those until 2011. Boris has also announced a bike hire scheme for next year, but he's reduced spending on cycle lanes. On top of that, bus and tube fares have gone up, and a number of interesting infrastructure projects have been canned. The state of the economy hasn't helped, but even so, only 3 out of 10 for transport, Boris, I'm afraid. Now, housing. Boris's ambition is to build 50,000 affordable homes, but no one believes he'll do it. His approach has been to negotiate individual targets with London boroughs instead of bossing them around. Is this the best approach? At least one borough, a Tory one, is being rather obdurate. And it doesn't help that much of the building industry has lately ground to a halt. In truth, it's a little early to give Boris a meaningful grade in this policy subject. So for now, I'll award him a level 5. And how about crime?
I'm resigning not because of any failures by my service, and not because of the pressures of the office and the many stories that surround it are too much. I'm resigning in the best interests of the people of London and of the Metropolitan Police Service. I would have wished to continue to serve Londoners until my time of office expired in February 2010. However, at a meeting yesterday, the new mayor made clear, in a very pleasant but determined way, that he wished there to be a change of leadership at the Met.
Boris's effective removal of Metropolitan Police Chief Sir Ian Blair has been one of the great dramas of his mayoralty so far. People stopped calling him blundering. They stopped calling him a buffoon. The question is, though, have matters improved as a result? Police statistics under Blair's successor, Sir Paul Stevenson, continue to show crime falling in most categories, and that horrible spate of knife crime among teenage boys seems to have passed its peak. Maybe Boris deserves some credit for that, and I'm hopeful, perhaps naively, that under Mayor Johnson, the Met will become more effective and efficient. But I'm a lot less happy with his response to the controversies surrounding the policing of the recent G20 demonstrations. The death of Ian Tomlinson after being struck and pushed by an officer is not the sole reason for deep concern. As someone who was confined for several hours by the police's kettling tactics, I'm worried by the Met's attitude as an institution to the public it is meant to serve. In other contexts, Boris Johnson is the first to complain when the state restricts the freedom of the citizen. Yet for 3 weeks, he was silent on G20. And now he is engaging in a kind of public relations counter-offensive in the Met's defence. Is this the right way for the mayor to behave? I was going to mark Boris quite high for his police policies so far, but G20 brings him down to a 4. OK, time for a laugh.
ping pong was invented on the dining tables of England, ladies and gentlemen, in the 19th century. It was, and it was called Whiff Waff. And there, I think you have the essential difference between us and the rest of the world. Other nations, the French, looked at a dining table and saw an opportunity to have dinner. We looked at a dining table and saw an opportunity to play Whiff Waff. And that is why London is the sporting capital of the world.
That was Boris in Beijing as the 2008 Olympics drew to a close. Some people found it a little embarrassing. But I think Boris's Olympic performance has been rather good since then. He's brought all his formidable optimism to bear on the London 2012 Games, especially its desperately needed legacy for the east of the city. For the Merrill equivalent of PE class, I give Boris 8 out of 10. And his approach to the Olympics gives us a wider insight into the kind of politician he's turning out to be in power. His opponents portrayed him as a nasty Thatcherite, but it hasn't worked out quite that way. True, he's cut budgets and jobs, but in general, he's governed from the moderate centre-right. He's a romantic economic liberal, a defender of bankers, a champion of free trade. But he's a social liberal too, including on immigration. To Boris, London's cosmopolitan character is not a symptom of a lost native culture, but a sign that market forces have been doing their noble work. And to him, this is compatible with patriotism.
It's very often the people who come to a country who best identify the things that make it special. It's something to do with freedom, and it's something to do with the rule of law and democratic institutions, and it's something to do with fairness.
Is Boris thinking bigger than the mere metropolis? In recent days, he's been denying that he's after David Cameron's job. I don't doubt that if he ever had the chance to become Prime Minister, he'd leap at it. But for now, London is keeping him busy. He says he rises at 5:30 each morning, only slightly later than me, and pads around the house, pondering the day ahead. But what's the big picture of London that lives within his lovely blonde head? He proclaims his wish to make our city safer, cleaner, and greener. But I can't see his transport policies achieving this, or many of those he has for the environment. During the election campaign, he said he'd halt the spread of tall buildings in London, but in practice, this has proved tricky. On the cultural front, I await this summer's Story of London Festival with great interest. History is always a political battleground, and you can tell a lot about how people see the future from the way they portray the past. And so we reach the final page of Boris's first year report. I find him to be an affable and popular fellow, if at times a little rash. There's no question he has great ability, and you can't fault him for effort. I'd give him 7 out of 10 for that. My problem is, as it was right from the start, with some of his priorities. For these, alas, I can award only 3.5. Still, he's got 3 years left to improve.